Where?
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, Brantford, Ontario, and of course, North Carolina. Pammy, I always forget whatever city you live in. Is it Wilmington? Is that right?
Wilmington. Yeah, Wilmington.
Pammy, of course, coming from her performance of the night in Wilmington,
right.
North Carolina. Not to mention, of course, performances of the night that we had, guys, at UFC on Fox 25, Weidman versus Gastelum. A card, actually, it turned out better than I thought it would. Bonus awards, guys, $50,000 given to Fight of the Night. Zaleski Dos Santos versus Lyman Good. I'm watching that fight right now as we go for the second time. I don't know. I think I would have given Jimmy Rivera Thomas Almeida. No, I've already seen it. This second time. And, of course, performance of the night. Alex Oliveira versus Junior Albini. Let's get into this, guys. Let's meet the host. Want me to tell you what happened? All right, guys. Here we go. Ready? Fighting out of the blue corner because she is a Blue Devils fan. How about that, Pammy?
That's right.
The beautiful
Pam right.
Hit it.
Good morning, everybody. I am sitting here at 12 o'clock and I'm still covered in glitter from last night.
That's what she said.
Yeah. That's right.
Pam, fighting out of the Alexander Julian corner. Look that up, kids, if you guys don't know what that is. In the light blue and in his igloo, the man who said that Chris Weidman would defeat Kelvin Gastelum simply because he was on his diet. Remix, hit it!
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Pam. Glad to be speaking with the both of you this afternoon. And for Tony this morning, how is everybody?
Lovely. It's so pretty outside.
Pammy, of course.
It's nice outside.
Having her performance, Pam. And by the way, I really love the fact that I mentioned Alexander Julian to a North Carolina fan, and I got crickets on that one, guys.
Crickets.
I'm just trying to stay quiet. I'm just trying to be a team player.
You guys know who Alexander Julian is, right?
No.
Son of a gun. All right. Alexander Julian, of course, raised in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, attended, of course, Chapel Hill. And he made the Argyle uniforms, of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Never mind. Like I said, I'm trying to give props to Alexander Julian, and I get...
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, that's, you know
right.
What? I still love Leitner. I still love Leitner.
Christian yeah. Leitner. Everybody hates Christian Leitner, right?
And I love him. Nope.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, did you hear what Joanna said? You're going to cry. Or as Marco would say,
pretty good.
All right, you got to listen to that show, by the way. I produced the living crap out of that show. All right, guys, let's get into it. UFC on Fox 25, guys. Let's go with the main card because that's when everyone cares about. You know what? Let's go with the prelims. We'll fight through that. Get it? Crickets on that one, guys? All right. I'll give myself one for that. Here you go, Josh. All right, we'll go through the prelims and see if anything piqued your interest. Fight Pass prelims, guys. Jeremy Kennedy defeats Kyle Bochniak versus unanimous decision. Marlon Vera defeated Brian Kelleher via submission armbar. Junior Albini defeated the mustache himself, Timothy Johnson. right, Prados? We had TKO.
Absolutely.
Shane Burgos defeated Proteus's favorite, Gottfriedo Pepe, just because he likes to say Pepe remix, via unanimous decision. And, of course, Chris Wade defeats Frankie Perez via unanimous decision. Notice how I said Perez and not Perez. Nothing?
All right. Perez. I know that hits me when they say that.
Anything there, guys, that you guys want to go over on the prelims?
You know what? I like the Pepe fight, man. That was fun. That was a fun fight to watch because, like I said, I didn't get to catch all of them because I was getting ready, but I watched that one probably about 1 o'clock this morning. That was a fun fight. I totally dug that fight.
That was
actually
a pretty decent
fight.
That's the only one I was paying attention to. The prelims, Fox prelims, guys. Zaleski Dos Santos defeated Lyman Good, and that apparently was a fight of the night. Again, I would have given it to Rivera versus Almeida. Eric Anders, exciting fight there versus Rafael Natal. KO punches the cowboy, the second cowboy, Proteus, the third cowboy? I'm not quite sure. The Brazilian cowboy. Oliveira defeated.
The glasses guy.
There you go. No, wrong guy. Defeated.
No, wrong guy. Okay.
Yeah, defeated. He's an Oliveira too, I think. Defeated Ryan, New York's very own Ryan LaFerre via KO. And Pam's favorite, who crashed the MMA Fortnite, as Proteus would say, Chase Sherman defeated Damian Grabowski. Guys, what do you guys have there, pro?
Yeah, I thought that the prelims were really, really good, except for, of course, the curtain jerker here, Grabowski versus Sherman. Grabowski, man, he looked like he was in slow motion this whole fight, but somehow ended up, you know, with the harder head and got all three rounds and got to the decision. I thought Chase Sherman looked very improved, throwing kicks, throwing the combos that he was throwing, you know, just so crisp. And he would end every combo with a beautiful leg kick, and those things must have hurt a lot because they were coming fast and vicious. But one thing I wanted to note here, Tony, Chase did seem to be gassing a little bit near in the second and third, of course, keeping up a work rate like he was keeping up at heavyweight is quite tough.
Yeah, agreed.
See, I wanted to see, and I completely missed it. And even when I was looking for it on the prelims, I totally missed it. So I'm going to go, as soon as we're done here, we're going to go back and look for it. But hey, man, vanilla is my new favorite flavor.
Yeah.
I totally dig that, Rod.
I think we can attest to that, right, Paul?
Tony.
Yeah, a lot of good fights. You know what's funny, guys? I haven't sparred in about a year. I think Proteus remembers the last time I sparred. I actually was concussed. So I haven't sparred it for about a year. And the last time I sparred last Sunday, as a matter of fact. So that was, and I survived, Proteus. I survived my sparring. The one thing that we always forget, guys, and, you know, we don't really go too technical in this. I think am I the only one that trains? I'm the only one that trains, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I know Showtime trains as well, but he does BJJ. But the one thing the people forget, guys, and of course, I'm not in the shape that any of these professional fighters are, nor probably will never be, but man, everyone forgets, Proteus, that there is that sort of adrenaline dump that hits you, especially if you're at a big stage, you know, like New York. And everyone forgets that because you're gassed after a minute. Especially when you look like me, right? You're certainly gassed. But, man, I'll tell you, you forget that you get gassed pretty easy. And that's Pam, do you go through any of that when you perform? Do you have that adrenaline dump?
Oh, all the time. And it's so much fun because, you know, when you practice is different, completely different than when you're performing, because when you get on stage, you've got all that crowd energy and, you know, everybody's getting into it and they're clapping and they're yelling. And so it's so much fun to see you do. You feed off the crowd and it's so much fun. Like last night, God.
Go ahead, Pam.
Okay. No, I was messaging Tanya that, you know, we're waiting on her. But it's so much fun. But then afterwards, like this morning, man, I woke up so sore. My whole body is so sore. I feel like I got hit by a truck. I'm so sore. But, you know, I've also was getting back to my workouts doing squats. So I'm just so completely sore, but sore in a good way. You know what I mean?
We're getting a little bit of cracking. Are you getting a little bit of snap, crackle, and pop?
Hang on.
And she's moving around.
Okay.
Tony, I just wanted to note on a side note or kind of opposite to what we were just talking about. I thought that the next fight up, Alex Oliveira against Ryan LaFleur, I don't know how Alex survived that first round of just having a LaFleur blanket on him. And then to come back in the second and just explosively knock out Ryan LaFleur. I mean, I thought for sure Alex Oliveira was going to be, you know, like we were just talking, out of gas or winded from defending from his back for a whole round, basically. But no, comes back, he's got energy for days, and gets that beautiful KO.
Doesn't it seem to be a pro that he actually does that quite a bit, like makes a comeback? Like, he's the kind of fighter that's usually down a round or two, and then out of nowhere comes out to and wins. Don't you think?
Yeah, he's definitely catching my eye with the past couple of fights and his explosiveness. And they, like I said, that just at the top of the fight here, the ability to hang on and have that strength still, because that was grueling. That was a grueling 5 minutes that he spent on the mat. And I just, my hat goes off to him, man, because that was an incredible performance.
Hey, guys, and not to belabor this point, but we've spoken about this before, about birthdays. Does Cowboy Oliveira look 29 to you guys? Because if he's 29, I'm 35, guys. I mean,
honestly, something in the water down there, right?
Well, maybe that's right? 29 well, so in a billion years, right?
Well, that's what I mean. Tammy, talk about your home country here. Are you sure he's 29? I'm not sure he's 29.
Maybe it's one of those cases of a lost birth certificate kind of thing, you know? I don't know.
Right.
I think so. Lost certificate through the island, right, in New York. Hey, guys, fourth time, I think, right, that the UFC has been in New York now. I'm kind of over it. I don't know if you guys are. This time, of course, 11,000 in attendance, total gate, a little over a million guys. Let's move up to the main card we go. And Proteus, actually, I'm surprised. You know what? I'm actually not surprised the card went this way. The only one I guess I'm surprised in is Elkins. But let's go over this quickly, and then we'll touch base on every fight because we have about 7 minutes before champion Tonya Evinger comes on, guys. It's the champ, Invicta champion, and, of course, UFC contender for the title contender. Bantamweight, of course, Jimmy Rivera defeated Thomas Almeida, forgive me, via unanimous decision, and I think that was about right, guys. And Thomas Almeida has the same defense I do, which is called the Olay defense. He, of course, loses for the second time. Patrick Cummins, that's his real name, guys, not his adult name, defeated Tammy's favorite, John Biante, via decision, split decision. That's about right. Darren Elkins somehow, Proteus. Gosh, that guy has the lives of Pam's crazy cat, because he somehow survives all these fights. Defeats Dennis the Menace Bermudez in his home state, I think, right, via split decision. And, of course, Chris Weidman defeated Kelvin Gastelum. Guys, which one do you guys want to start with first, bro?
Let's
go with the Almeida fight.
Yeah, the Almeida fight. So. Go ahead.
You know what's going on there is the curse of the sunglasses. Anytime you wear sunglasses, seriously, anytime that you wear sunglasses to the weigh-in, you'll lose.
There's something to be said there, although it hasn't stopped Tony Ferguson Tyron Woodley yet, right? So they're so far they're going okay in terms of that. Proteus, did you think did this fight go the way you thought it would go?
I actually had Almeida winning this fight in our pre-fight show or Smack My Picks Up show. But Jimmy Rivera just looking very, very impressive against the, you know, sometimes tricky Thomas Almeida. Great fight, though. I mean, the one thing I noted with the lighter weight fights, both of the lighter weight fights that were on this card, is that they were both fantastic. This one especially showing lots of technical skill. I was really impressed with both guys. And of course, Rivera, he's on that beautiful win streak right now. And of course, calling out some of the top dogs. And I thought it was a good call out for him to call out our boy on the broadcast, at the broadcast booth. Can't his name right now. Of course, I can't.
Dominic Cruz, the Dominator.
There you go. Calling out Mr. Cruz. And Cruz, I thought, was kind of funny on the broadcast panel as well, kind of just shutting him down real quick. Great call out, great fight, well-deserved win.
Cam, is this what's going to happen to Thomas Almeida, or is he finally going to learn to play some defense? Because he brings it, there's no doubt about it. His chin is holding up for now, but boy, I mean, he has to learn a little bit of D, fam.
Yeah, but you know what? He's still, what is he, 26, 27, maybe 27?
He's 25.
20, maybe 26. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, 25.
He's still young, you know.
25.
He's still young, and he's still learning, and now he's coming off two losses in a row. Excuse me. So I think he's just going to get better. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad, but he's just, you know, everybody is just getting better and better, and he's just, you know, that's just room for improvement on his end. But he's an amazing fighter to watch. I love to watch him fight. I think he's exciting, and anyone that he fights, it's going to be a great fight. You know, when he's fighting, it's always going to be a good fight.
I'm getting a little bit of static. Are you guys hearing static, or is it just me?
No, I'm not really.
I'm,
all right, good.
I hear everybody
okay. Just me. Hey, guys, what are we going to do with Chris Weidman's boy, John Vellante? Because I think this was a fight given for him to impress. He has now two straight losses. He is 2-4 in his last six. Since entering the UFC, guys, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's 5-5 since being in the UFC. He didn't look very good, guys. I think sometimes he holds stuff back. What say you, pro?
Yeah, I thought that Vellante looked really, really good in the first, you know, had his opportunities and was marking up Patrick Cummings. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, I was noting on Twitter last night that Cummings looked pretty much exactly the same as I saw him after 210. That guy's face was a mess after 210 in the bar, and he looked pretty much exactly the same after this fight. And like you said, Tony, I think that Vellante had many opportunities to close out this fight, and perhaps this was one of those fights, as you mentioned, Tony, that for him to show out. Now, one thing that I noted after at the end of the second, and he's sitting on his stool, the corner advice just didn't do it for me. I thought to myself, well, that's not going to help him at all. You know what I mean? Like there was nothing, absolutely nothing of any consequence, nothing of that I thought would help at all. They're just basically yelling at him and berating him. And the broadcast team were like, well, maybe they know their fighter. They know what they need to say to him to make him come out in the third round with some vigor. And that just didn't happen. I think, Tony, it's time for Vellante to start training at a bigger gym. I think he needs to be pushed. I think maybe he's the big fish in the small pond where he's training on Long Island. I know he does train with Weidman from time to time, but he does bounce around to many different camps, and they are a bit smaller. I'd like to see him get into a big camp. I'd like to see him put some effort into it and see where he can go. I was disappointed that he did not, you know, try to take this fight, try to win this fight, but Patrick Cummings hung in there and did enough to win this fight. I had him winning the fight, but very, very close fight, and Vellante dropped the ball on this one.
Darn. You know what, Pam? We didn't do our pick show on Wednesday, and Proteus and Marco stepped up, and thank God, thank you guys
for
us slackers. But honestly, Pam, my picks would have been garbage this week because I had Almeida and I had Vellante. Pam, I mean, any surprises on John Vellante? I mean, someone that's talented.
Well,
just...
yes and no. One word I have for him is cardio. because he always comes, starts out, balls to the wall, you know, amazing, and you're thinking, all right, this is going to be the time, this is going to be the time, and then he gasses out, you know, and I know that the you know, the bigger guys, they use so much more energy, and they get tired, you know, easier, but he did that last time, cardioed out, you know, and I was watching the fight, and they showed, you know, the one guy all completely bloody, which made it look like Gian had done more damage, but all that blood was due to a headbutt. I don't know if you saw that, but John McCarthy had stopped it because they headbutted. Oh, sorry.
You know what, Pam? Now that you brought this up, let's bring this up, because I was going to bring this up later on in the show as we're waiting for Invicta Champ. And, of course, she still has time. Invicta Champ and, of course, UFC contender, UFC star now, Tanya Evinger. But I thought, Proteus, and you and Marco went into this just a tad, but I know that we've all have spoken about this quite a bit. You guys went into it on Friday, but guys, give it up for New York, because they actually let Big John McCarthy referee some important fights here, guys. So kudos to them for actually bringing real refs this time, no?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know what? And I didn't even think about that, because you just mentioned it right now.
Well, Marco and Proteus brought it up.
Tony, it kind of shows that the New York Commission can learn from some of their mistakes. And like we had noted, not only on previous shows, but on the Smack My Picks Up show, and as Pam just said, it is good to see them learning from their mistakes, bringing in the guys that really need to be there, because you just can't have those lower tier referees getting in there and making mistakes.
Yeah, and I think honestly, for being on Big Fox, I think they really did a nice job there in terms of finally. I'm curious to see what the numbers are, because I don't know if they're going to be that great, guys. Let's move up to the featherweight we go, and not the featherweight we like to see, which is Chris Cyborg versus Tanya Evinger. But let's move up, guys, because this was a fight that I thought would kind of go the way it went. Darren Elkins, guys, continues to do it. I always put him on the losing side of the ledger, and guess what, guys? he's now won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight. I don't think I could pick him and lose anymore. I think he's along the lines of Bobby Knuckles now for me, where I can't pick against him. So Darren Elkins, guys, defeats Dennis Bermudez via a split decision. Pammy, what'd you see there?
I think it's nice to see is like the generation of the new blood that's coming up. I mean, these are some really exciting fighters and really fun fighters to watch. And I just think things are getting better. I mean, things are getting good. When it just seems like something bad happens, and then you see these fighters that are okay, that put faith back into the sport. I'm like, all right, this is good. This is good. So he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think I need to stop. I think I don't give him enough credit. Either that, or, you know, Proteus, I used to when I first started boxing, like this was like, you know, obviously years ago, and you know how my career went. Straight to the crapper. But when I first started boxing, I used to fight like Dennis Bermudez. And Dennis, meaning every single punch has to be a burst of energy. Every single punch has to be the knockout punch. And I don't know how well that's working for him. And you know, I'm one to talk, but I don't know how well that's working for him. Proteus, we go to you. What was your thoughts on Bermudez versus Elkins?
Well, I mean, Tony, I mean, it's easy to not give Elkins the credit that he probably deserves with that cringeworthy tattoo on his chest. Sorry.
I know, right?
I had to go there. But look, Elkins is looking very, very improved. I think his time at Alpha Male is starting to show some dividends. He's really starting to look like he's improving. And Dennis Bermudez, a tough test. You know what I mean? This was a very close fight, as you mentioned, Tony. Split decision in the end. I did have it going towards Elkins. I just thought that he was able to control Bermudez a little bit more in the fight. And, of course, lots of good scrambling in this fight. I mean, Bermudez getting up and the wrestling game of both guys is, you know, on display. Yes, Tony is saying that Bermudez kind of winging some shots, trying to look for that highlight KO in his home state, as you had mentioned. But I thought it was a good fight. I mean, I know, Tony, you're not a big fan of these lighter weight guys, but just watching these two run around like the Energizer Bunny is really impressive. You know what I mean? And you compare it to, say, the earlier on the prelims fight, the heavyweight fight, which everybody wants to see. I mean, that was a really slow fight. I mean, there was not a lot of technical stuff going on there, besides, of course, what Sherman was throwing. But I thought these guys did a great job. Good and entertaining fight, even though it did, you know, go the distance. I thought very, very entertaining fight, Tony.
Who was cornering for him?
Or Elkins?
All the Alpha Male boys were there. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
shout out to Team Alpha Male.
Shout out to Alpha Male.
Shout out to, hey, way to go. Hey, that's, we stopped doing that. Yeah, shout out, right? Shout out to Justin Buchholz. He's about as nice as you can get. So shout out, right, to Team Alpha Male. Pam,
yep.
Let's go
yep.
to the middleweight. And I'm looking this up, guys. I'm actually looking. I'm in the background on my screen. I'm playing UFC Fight Night right now. And they're showing, of course, Luke Rockhold, who always looks like he just – listen, I'm a big fan of anything AKA. Anything, you know, Bay Area, San Jose, shout out to San Jose and Team AKA. And, of course, friend to the show, Javier. The one thing is, does Luke Rockhold always look like he was just sucking on a lemon? Or what the hell?
Yes. No, yes, he does. He does.
I mean,
and you know what? I wanted to bring something up. But, okay, so you've got, real quick, Whitaker out till 2018 possibly because he blew out his knee, which leaves, okay, Bisping, Romero, Rockhold, Weidman. Who's missing from that top four, right, or that top five? Who's missing?
Jacare.
And Musashi.
But he just lost, He just lost, right, and Musashi, yeah.
No, but I'm saying Musashi. How perfect would it have been to put Musashi and Rockhold together?
Well, here's what I thought, mm-hmm. Tony. When they showed him on, when they showed Rockhold on the camera, I mean, the fight that they've got for him is pretty sad. I mean, he shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be
right?
having to fight...
David
yeah,
Brand.
He shouldn't have to be taking that kind of step back. I mean, like you just
I had
said,
to Google
Pam,
him.
I mean, Musashi would have been a perfect addition right there. Just plug him
mm-hmm.
in. So, yeah, I get where you're coming from. And, yes, Tony, he does always look like he's not having a great time.
Pam brought this up, and she's right. I didn't know Whitaker was going to be out for, gosh, the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I didn't. Was that
mm-hmm.
Is that confirmed, guys?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
sir.
Yeah? All right. All right, so
yep.
so you have. I'm looking at the UFC rankings, and of course, you should only go off of the USA Today rankings by Gorgeous George. But I'm looking at the middleweight rankings. All right, Bisping, of course, the champion. Say my name, Bisping. Robert Whittaker, of course, interim. Pam was also interim there for a while, and so was Proteus. Yoel Romero, we call him Miami mm-hmm. Vice. Yoel Romero now. Luke Rockhold, Jacare Souza. Chris Weidman at 5, Anderson Silva, the great one, at 6, Derek Brunson at 7, Kelvin Gastelum at 8, David Branch, 9, Diaco at 10. Wow, guys, this is getting thin, right? Belfort, Leitis,
okay,
Tim Boach.
I was going to say something real quick since we're talking about the 185. Now, didn't Gastelum just say that now he's going to drop down to 170?
That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he can make it, Pro.
So does that?
I don't think he can.
I know. I don't think he can make
well,
it.
Well, you know
either.
What? Well, he can make it if his mother stops feeding him
sure.
all those, you know, carne asada and chalupas and menudo and you know, frijoles borrachos. He can do it. You know, eat a damn salad, dude.
Guys, as talented as Kelvin Gastelum is, and we've seen this before, guys. Let's end on this. And then we can talk about
okay.
The middleweight division. But let's end on this. Chris Weidman, of course, defeats Kelvin Gastelum in a really competitive first two rounds, I thought. And then, of course, Chris
mm-hmm.
Weidman, just a bigger man, guys, takes him, submits him.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Chris Weidman and his camp, Ray Longo, the Ray Longo Minute. He said he's back. I hope he's back. I still don't see that completely. I thought, believe it or not, guys, even though we're ripping on him, I thought Kelvin Gastelum looked in pretty good shape for Kelvin Gastelum, and that's, and I'm,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not trying to make a funny there, dude. I'm really trying to say that I thought he looked in good shape for him. I really do think that he looked in decent shape, especially at the unofficial weigh-ins, at the ceremonial weigh-ins. But guys, we've seen fighters like this before, Pam. We've seen fighters like these, like this before. Talented and just never gets to where they need to go. Where are we in Gastelum, Pam? What's your prediction in the next 2 to 3 years? Is he a title contender? Or will he always just kind of be in the middle ground?
He can be if he gets his shit together, because, you know, if he goes to 170, he's kind of like a little bit how Johnny Hendricks was, you know, very talented, but too small to be in there with the big guys. So then you go down a weight class, and then you're too big for that weight class because you can't make weight. So he's kind of in that little bit of a purgatory area where, you know, you got to make a decision, either stay at 185 or be very disciplined and go down to 170. I think if he goes down to 170, have a good chance of being a champion. But if he stays at 185, you're looking at these guys that cut weight to 185, but then when they hydrate, they're running around at 200 and 205, you know?
Proteus, you've been very vocal about weight cutting. You've also been very vocal about fighters basically fighting in their weight class. Keep in mind, Kelvin Gastelum, Proteus, he's maybe 5'9", and let's just say he is 5'9". Boy, he's really small for that middleweight class. When you start seeing, and to be fair, so is Bobby Knuckles, Pro, but you start seeing Yoel Romero, not very tall, but just built. Luke Rockhold, probably 6'3", 6'4". Weidman, 6'3", right-ish. Anderson Silva, a good 6'1".
Souza, I think he's like 6'2". Yeah.
Well, Tony, in 2 years, Kelvin Gastelum, let's remember, will be 27 years of age. He is a very young person right now, and I don't know about you, Tony, when I was 25, I probably was trying to cut as many corners as I could as well. What Kelvin Gastelum needs is, if he's going to continue to not be disciplined with what he eats, as Pam points out, he's going to need a 175 division. And I think, of course, we could plug Johnny Hendricks into that category as well, because like you guys mentioned, Chris Weidman looked like he was fighting his younger brother out there, in the octagon last night. And you could really tell the size difference. And, man, it did end up, as you said, Tony, after probably the midway through the second round, did really start to show that Chris Weidman was just a bigger dude. You know what I mean? And like you mentioned, I don't think he's back. Honestly, I don't think if you can fight Kelvin Gastelum, look good, that you're back. Now, the question that you asked me is, where do I see Kelvin Gastelum in 2 years? Can he be a champion? Yes, he can. Absolutely. His age he's at a point in his life where he is young. He needs to get a little bit more committed to the craft and get down to 170. I mean, if only your options are 185 and 170, you got to make a choice. And if your choice is to be at 170 because you feel like the guys at 185 are just bigger and stronger and faster than you, or maybe not faster, but bigger and stronger, then you do have to start getting committed. You have to not come in looking dad bodish. You have to come in looking like you've put that training in. You put that time in to get down to that weight. Because if you continue to miss weight like Kelvin has done, the UFC will not put their money behind you at 170, and you'll end up going probably to another promotion, which, of course, would be a travesty. I mean, Kelvin Gastelum is a very, very talented guy. I did pick him in this fight. And of course, in the first round, Kelvin got to Chris Weidman's chin and knocked him, you know, almost into the land of wind and ghosts. And I think, as Kelvin said, if he had a little bit of extra time, that fight might've been over, Tony. So yes, he can be a champion. He has the talent, but he has to get more disciplined and get down to that 170 pound and be a healthy 170 pounder.
Guys, let's talk about talented. It doesn't get any more talented than this. Right now on the AMP radio air, we have Invicta champion and UFC star and title contender, Tonya Evinger. Tonya, welcome to the show.
Yay! Hey, how are you guys? Good morning.
Tonya,
morning.
Thanks for being on. Good morning. Tonya.
Sorry, I don't get a great start in the morning. It takes me a minute.
You know what? We're honestly so proud to have you on the air. I mean, heck, you've been undefeated for many, many years. You're making your UFC debut, and it doesn't get any tougher at UFC 214. So, and actually in about a week, and you're weight cutting, et cetera. So we're very grateful to have you on. Tanya, I'm going to throw it to Pam.
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning. And I'm so happy that you're doing our little show, because we've been excited about this all week. And poor Tanya, I messaged her and I said, okay, I'm going to wake you up at 6 a.m. And I was messing with her. But I'm so, you know, like I said, I'm that you're on the air with us. And I just want to know where you were and what you thought when they gave you this fight. I mean, were you surprised? Did you see it coming? Did you kind of know? Or was it just like, hey, this is what you're doing?
Well, obviously, I kind of knew that this was the fight they were going to give me. I didn't know it was going to be right now or anything of that sort. That caught me off guard. I really thought I was set in on the Invicta card, and I didn't think they'd pull me off the Invicta card after they just pulled Megan off. So it was kind of definitely a surprise, but, you know, it was nothing I had to think about. I took it right there. So it was just one of the things we've already talked about so many times that it wasn't, you know, wasn't anything I had to think about. If it comes up and we fight her, we're fighting her. So
awesome. That's so cool. I'm so excited. I can't wait. So excited for this.
Well, hello, champ. This is Proteus here with you. I just have a couple of quick questions for you as well. Now, the one thing that you in your career have never had to deal with is, you know, something like USADA. Going into the UFC, what are your thoughts on USADA? I mean, you have to tell them everywhere you're going. They expect you, they come and wake you up in the morning and like earlier than we did. What are your thoughts on dealing with USADA moving forward in the UFC?
You know, I've dealt with them before. I just dealt with them back in the days when we used to wrestle. And back then, it was the Olympic Committee that did it. It wasn't USADA. They weren't formed yet. But, you know, it was a similar kind of thing, but they really only caught us at the competition. You know, they catch us at the training center, this or that, but it wasn't like anything. This is a little crazy. But, it's all good. I think that it's a great thing. I think that it keeps everybody fair and whatnot, but you know, I still see like some people getting some passes for some things, and it seems odd. But you know, I don't know necessarily what goes and what doesn't when it comes to it, and what UFC is allowed to like put through and pass and whatnot. But you know, I definitely see it as something really fair and keeping all the athletes on the same plane. You know, so I'm not against it. I just am against 6 a.m.
For real.
Tanya, the one thing that no one has really brought up, the fact is you've been a champ for quite some time now, and you've been on this incredible run for quite some time. This is basically champion versus champion, Chris Cyborg versus yourself, and this is a super fight, and I don't think they're giving you guys enough press on this. What are your thoughts about going up in weight, because you've been so dominant at the bantamweight, going up 10 pounds and fighting someone that you know pretty well in Chris Cyborg?
You know what? I think I'm in the right weight class. I think 135 is the right weight class for me. And, you know, obviously, I think that if you're in the right weight class, you can go up or down 10 pounds and still be able to fight and compete. So I've obviously done that. I fought at 25. I fought at 45. I'm not happy about 25. That always sucks to make weight. But I do feel like I'm in the right weight class at 35. So 45 ain't too far off. It's 10 pounds. I'm not unhappy about it. I don't feel like there's a crazy amount of size difference. You know, obviously he has more muscle than me, but so does everybody. So it's just one of those things. I don't know. And I do agree. I think it's a super fight. And I think that, you know, they just see it as another fight, female fight. I don't think that they see it as big as it was. But, you know, if you follow the Invicta world and stuff, you realize this is a huge fight and two dominating champions. And you know, I don't think I get the respect that I should. I think that people talk a lot of trash about me as an athlete, and obviously it's probably the way I look. I don't look very tough, but then I think it's also they talk a lot of trash about my opponents, and I think they're just absolutely crazy. My opponents are undefeated when they come and fight me. They're world champions in other countries. They're great opponents, and you're going to tell me that Cyborg's opponents are better than my opponents? That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. My opponents have done and were in way better positions than you know her opponents were. So I think that it's just crazy to think that she's like so much better than me, you know. So
okay, so here's my I was thinking about this. So when you win on Saturday and you have that belt and you have your Invicta belt, where does that leave you with UFC? Did you sign a contract? Was this like a one-fight deal? Or are you going to have to leave Invicta and be straight up UFC? Can you do both, or how does that work?
Well, obviously this weight class is a one-time deal unless I win, and that's the plan. So, I think that then I obviously go down to 35, but I'm on a multi-fight deal. I definitely vacated my belt at Invicta, and we kind of went through the whole process of doing that before I even signed this contract to make sure everything was legit and fine with everybody and stuff. But, I think Invicta was not that they were trying to get rid of me or anything, because I don't think that was the case. I do think I'm a huge draw for them, and I sell tickets and I fill the arena, and I put out good numbers for them. But, I think that on the other end, I'm a costly athlete for them. I think I'm the highest paid athlete they had. So it was, at some point it was, starting to wear on them too. And I needed to move up and get to a bigger stage and get a little bit better pay and whatnot.
Well, I think it's such a big deal that they put you on the roster.
Definitely about time.
To the women's roster. Yeah, hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah.
They made me wait forever.
No, but you know what? It was worth the wait because everybody is so excited to see you.
I agree 100% with Pam's sentiments. It is about time. I mean, as Tony was alluding to, the last time you lost was in 2011. And you've, other than the no contest, which I hopefully we can get into later, because I find that very interesting. I think it's about time that they've put you there. And like you said, they have made you wait for a long time. It's just really good to see a person who's put so much time and effort into the sport being in where they belong. Anyways, I digress. You mentioned the 45 division, and if you do win, when you do win that belt on Saturday, what do you think about the 45 division in the UFC? Because there's not really much, right, moving forward. So I'd expect that when you get the title, first of all, what do you think about the division? And of course, you had said you're going to go down to 35s probably, so just give us your thoughts on the 45 division, and then, of course, where you go in 35s.
I just think that let's be honest, I think that they dropped the ball a little bit on that division. They let Bellator scoop up a bunch of girls, and they let another football, the girls, and now you are sitting there, and you have fans like, the division ain't deep enough. Hell yes, it's deep enough. You don't have any of the girls signed with the UFC, you know what I mean? They're signed everywhere else, and it's kind of, it's nobody's fault but theirs. But, I don't know how eager they are to sign people. They probably thought that girls would automatically sign with them by just, saying that they're going to have the division. But, man, I don't know what Bellator's doing over there, but they are scooping up the leftovers. They're trying to scoop them up, and that's what kind of happened. Aside from that, that's why I think that they're not trying to build the weight class right now. They're just bringing in single fights for Cyborg, and they're just going to, keep her active and happy, I guess. I don't know. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Obviously, I know when I win, we're going to have a rematch and whatnot. And, we'll do it all again. So I'm ready for that, too.
Tanya wrestled collegiately at Missouri Valley College. And you, with Invicta, you've been in the Missouri area for quite a few number of your matches with Scottish Rite Temple, et cetera. You did actually come west to Costa Mesa, and so you'll be pretty close. But having fought so much of your career near the Missouri area, is there a concern now being in the UFC where you're going to be traveling all over the world? You are the toughest competitor that Chris Cyborg has faced in years, if not, over 10 years. You are the toughest competitor. There's no doubt about it. We believe that you have an opportunity to win this title. Any concern of wrestling, or rather fighting outside of Missouri?
No, I think that if you look at my career, I mainly fought outside of Missouri. I just, the last few years, I've been able to have the opportunity to fight and have the opportunity to come watch me fight. And I always thought that was a bummer that I fought everywhere else. I competed everywhere else. And then wrestling was the same way. I fought everywhere else. I wrestled, competed everywhere but Missouri. I competed in other countries all the time. It's just one of the things that you never really get the opportunity to fight in front of your hometown very often. So, it was definitely a blessing, and to be able to fight on a card like Invicta, where tickets are cheap, and you get to be so close to the athletes in such a, like, an intimate kind of atmosphere. It was really great for them, you know. So other than that, nah, man, I'm used to competing everywhere else and going all over and doing my thing wherever. So it's not a big deal. I know that she'll probably have a big crowd there, and when we fought in Costa Mesa, she had a big crowd there too. So, you know, it is what it is. But man, we're talking about a UFC crowd, and they already 90% of Murdy don't even know who I am. So that's just MMA fans are the worst, I think. They have no clue. They believe every bit of hype there is. It's just the most ridiculous fan base. It's amazing. It's amazing what people believe, you know. And I think that, you know, that UFC could make this like a really huge fight and a really big deal if they put a little bit of promo on both of us, because I do. I think it's a super fight, and I think that you know, it's a huge thing. It's just, man, UFC can make whoever they want a star, and that's just a fact. So I think it's a little crazy when some people aren't getting the attention they need for their fight and this and that. You know, I think it's obviously the promotion's job and stuff, but you know, they got a big card here, man. We're talking some really big fights, and obviously the biggest fight of the year. So I'm actually grateful to be on the card and have this opportunity. So I guess I prove it in front of a bigger crowd, but I'm just still going to prove something.
That's awesome. Well, I think that you're going to be the eye opener and the door opener to the 145 division, because it's going to show them that, you know what, women come in more sizes than fucking 115 and 125 and 135. You know, there's a lot of women that are, I mean, just that are killing themselves to get down to 135, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're not all, you know, little cutie, you know, dancing with the stars bullshit. You know, we're real women and all different sizes. And I hope that you fucking prove to them, you know what, this is the real deal. And then, like I said, I'm just so excited for you. Now, saying that, I want to know, do you have any, like, funky, cool pre-fight rituals that you do, or do you just do your thing?
No, I used to have a bunch of little crazy ones. I used to wrap my own hands. I obviously do my own hair and stuff. It's kind of one of them things where I feel like I do it best. But, mm-hmm. or I know how to do it. It kind of makes me at ease a little bit. And you know, I do still do my own hair and stuff, but it's kind of a way to, like, ease my nerves and get my mind off the fight and kind of buy some time back there, you know, and don't sit around just thinking about the fight, just watch people warm up, and man, nothing happens up back there but a bunch of nerves flowing. So, you know, I try to stay away from all that. And, other than that, no, man, I got that wrestler's superstition. So I come out to the same song. I do everything the same. Everything's exactly the same every time. And that's about it. Nothing too crazy.
I have a voodoo doll that I take to all the fights when I go.
Oh, goodness. Well, don't put it on me. Put it on my opponent.
No. Yeah, I'll do that. but I'm normal. Okay. He's normal.
The last one for me, real quickly. While we have you here, the one thing that's been in the news a lot has been this new Athlete Performance Institute. Now, my question to you is, have you been over there to check it out at all, or do you have any plans in the future to take advantage of all the amenities that are at the Performance Institute?
To be honest, man, they didn't even invite me to Fight Week, so I thought that was a little crazy. We're on the biggest card of the year, and I didn't even get invited out there. They brought my opponent out there and a couple other the other fighters and stuff. I would thought they would have brought us both out and promote this fight, and they didn't, so I don't really see myself seeing much love. But I mean, what's new? So it's just one of them things. But I do think that, you know, they probably want to see me perform and see what I do, and you know, when I take this belt, then maybe they'll give me some love and some appreciation. But we'll see, man. They made me wait a long time. They might just want to see me prove it. So I don't know.
Tanya, I wanted to end with this. By the way, we're so grateful and thankful that you took time to chat with us. You know, it's fight week. It's you're cutting weight, et cetera. And I know it's not a tough thing for anyone to do. But the one thing that I wanted to end with you is this. You are on a huge card, and rightly so. UFC 214, Cormier versus Jones, Woodley versus Maya, Cyborg versus Evinger. Obviously, that's huge. Lawler versus Cerrone. Tanya, even when you win that belt, Have you thought about your call out, who you're going to call out? Are you going to call out Amanda Nunes? When you win that belt and when you're holding that, when that belt is wrapped around your waist, have you thought about your post-fight speech?
Yeah, I don't get an option, to be honest. We fight again. That's just how it goes. So I am up for anything, to be honest. I don't really care and whatnot, but I know that fight's going to happen. When I take that belt, we're going to fight again. So that's how it's going to go. But I guarantee you, when I take that belt, all them 45ers that are running will be right back at 45 because they probably all think they can kick my ass.
Good for you.
Hey, Tanya, I just want to say, listen, thank you for being on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we have Tanya, Triple Threat, Evinger, Invicta champion, and you know, future UFC champion. Tanya, thanks for being on our show. We appreciate it. We follow her, of course, at Tanya Evinger. And Tanya, thanks a lot for being on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we're pro Tanya. We're going to promote the shit out of you, girl.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I don't have many, so well, thanks, I do appreciate the one.
Well, you have us. You have us.
Thanks.
Don't you need them.
Thank you, Tanya.
It was great talking to you. Thank you.
Yep. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Boy, how about that, guys? Invicta champion.
How fun was that? She's so cool. How cool is she?
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, I mean, this is a tough week for her, right? She's cutting weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The limelight's on her. And frankly, honestly, not enough. Because this is a super fight, guys. Any way you want to look at it, everyone
Absolutely.
Looks at the Jones-Cormier. Mm-hmm. But this is a good fight, guys. Two champions, two people that gave up their belts. And it's going to be a good fight. And honestly, I'd love to see Tanya Evinger versus Amanda Nunes. I'm not going to lie. Guys, as we end the show, obviously – Anything you guys want to touch on?
Oh, I have something kind of how Jermaine GDR is her hand miraculously healed when she went down to 135. Praise the Lord.
Is the UFC going to take her back at 135?
I don't know. She's scheduled to fight. She's fighting. She's got a fight lined up. She's fighting. What is her name? Beroy Benoit, the teacher, the one teacher that fought, man, I can't think, but yeah, she's got a fight lined up at 135. Where is it going to be? I was just looking at it and I'm like, girl, wasn't your hand just broken at 145? Come on. So the healing waters of 135, man, miracles, milagros. I said, hey man, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony, the one thing that I really wanted to talk about, and I know we're going to talk about this a lot next week on a SmackRack Picks Up show, but as Tanya Evinger just said on our show, this fight card coming up, 214, UFC 214, is stacked. And of course, I'm so looking forward to the biggest fight of the year, Daniel Cormier versus Jon Jones. Could not be more excited for that. Wait, let's talk about that real quickly, if we can, Tony. Did you guys catch the interview between the two of them?
I did.
I missed it.
Was it just me, or did Daniel Cormier look like he was about to die?
I didn't
see it. I totally missed it.
He's
had a nutritionist, I think, living with him, and but he has had. I don't think he's ever missed weight. I probably shouldn't say that, but. It's been close,
well,
right?
The
Calgate, et cetera.
He almost did. Exactly.
Right. He doesn't look – I don't know if it was just – he didn't look right, and I don't know what
no.
– I don't know what it was. I don't know if he was trying to hold composure. I don't know if it was that shirt that he was wearing with the button all the way up, and I'm a huge Cormier fan.
That.
Obviously, anything AKA.
It's the beard.
Right? But
it's the beard.
He didn't look right, Proteus.
No. He didn't. And it's interesting because this is the first time any fighters fighting in California have had to weigh in months before their fight so that they are not cutting too much weight on fight night. I think that's very, very interesting piece of information in this fight. Jon Jones looks like $1 million. That's all I have to say about that. Cormier, not so much.
Well, damn, he's had 2 years to work on it.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I will
say this.
I mean, just pointing out facts.
I will say this, Pam, because we joke around, of course, that we need to check some of those birth certificates. Is it me, Pam, or is John Jones actually, at least in that interview, is he looking younger, or is it me?
Hey, don't you know that saying, black don't crack?
Well, isn't D.C. African-American?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he's Cajun. He's got Cajun blood.
Yeah.
But no, you know what? I think that, you know, because I saw just snippets of it, and I just think that probably DC just did not want to be there. He has so much disdain for this man that he just didn't want to be there, and he was kind of trying to hold his composure and not step out of line and say anything. But you know, in truth, I hope DC whoops his ass. Thank you.
Good luck with that.
Hey guys, I will say
this.
This
was a funny
show. We started this show, you know, Proteus and I and Joe just as junkies and really fans just wanting to hear our word and wanting to hear the word of other MMA junkies, right? Other fans and definitely the callers. I will say this. I think we learn a lot, guys, when we have guests on. When you have people like Tanya Evinger, when you have people like Benil Dariush, Javier Mendez, John Anik, and many others, right? I mean, all the journalists that have been on, Danny Austin, you name it. But I think you learn a lot from these people of the quality of people that they are when they come on, you know, our show and just show the class and grace that someone like Tanya Evinger showed. So kudos to Tanya Evinger and all the other guests we've had, guys. I mean, that's Pam, kudos to you for booking her. But these are these are quality people that come on, and we're very grateful for that. I just wanted to get in that because we forget those things. And right, Proteus? I mean, we forget the fact that these people have to take time out of their camps, et cetera.
Right. Well, I think that these people don't understand. Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish your point.
Okay. I was saying is that, you know, what an honor it is for us to have them come on our show because, you know, they are taking time out of their day. And, you know, maybe I know that she needed to go work out and stuff like that. And I had messages like, oh my God, my alarm didn't go off. And, you know, and somebody else could have said, you know what, I'm tired. I'm going to, you know, maybe next time kind of thing. But, you know, to me, it was so gracious of her to even take 20 minutes out of her day, you know, to come and talk to us. So I think somebody that will do that, man, I'm going to back them 100%.
I agree with you.
Yeah, and of course, it's a championship fight that she's preparing for. And that, you know, it's the first time we've ever had somebody, you know, in a championship fight, you know, before their fight. And as Tony had mentioned, if any of you are looking forward or would like to hear more of our interviews that we've done in the past, they're all there in the archives. We've mentioned it before, but go back and see. I mean, as Tony had mentioned, the show has evolved, but it was good, Tony. It was good to get back to our roots and get an interview in. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Pam.
Yeah,
well,
thank you, Pam.
Yeah. But, you know, but if it wasn't for you guys, then I wouldn't be here. So it's like a big, you know, it's a group effort.
And family.
Well, Pammy, we love you and we think you're great.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Proteus, let's close the show like we normally do. And, of course, Proteus was very gracious in doing the Friday show, guys. And listen, we're going to get back on track. Like Proteus always says, life happens, guys. And unfortunately, you know, someone actually passed away. So I had a cover for someone, believe it or not. And then I had my car towed.
Oh, no.
Long story. But here we go, guys. Of course, on Wednesday, Smack My Picks Up. Thursday, I think Proteus has some great things planned. So we're going to try to get that together. And of course on Sunday we may move the show somewhere down the line into another date just because we're enjoying our time off, but we're definitely going to continue doing This Week in MMA, and I'm going to try to do as many MMA minutes as we can, guys. Thank you, of course, to Pam for booking champion Tanya Triple Threat Evinger on our show, and Vic the champion, and of course UFC title contender. We wish her the very best, of course, and we're rooting for her. Follow her at Tanya Evinger. Follow us at Another MMA Cast. Follow me at I'm DJ Tony. Follow Pam at Pam Dora Boss with a double X. Follow Proteus at Proadows. Proteus, do you have a Twitter follow of the week or a song of the week, anything?
I wanted to actually shout out my boys over there in Ireland, the Happy Pair, once more time. They put out a great video about weight loss and the ways to make weight loss easier. So go ahead and check them out at The Happy Pair, P-E-A-R, like the fruit. Thank you, Tony.
Wow. My Twitter follow week, Pam, and I hope I'm not stealing this from you, will be Tanya Evinger. Follow her at Tanya Evinger, T-O-N-Y-A-B-E-B-I-A. Oh, boy, I ruined that one. T-O-N-Y-A-E-B-I-N-G-E-R. Good Lord, I can't spell. Good Lord. So follow her at Tanya Evinger. Pammy!
Hey! You took the words out of my mouth. Follow Tanya Evinger. Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, Evinger, E-B-I-N-G-E-R. On Twitter, and check out her Instagram. That girl is crazy fun. Instagram is a riot. Best of luck to her. You know, we're pulling for her.
And, of course, we apologize to Misha Tate. We ran out of time. Follow her at Misha Tate. Cue the music. Proteus,
oh God,
let's end this.
I'm waiting for you.
Oh, no. Sorry, my bad. We're way off.
I'm waiting for both of you.
I'm sorry. I was looking at Misha Tate's photo photos.
Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Bye, y'all.
Ain't nobody got time for that.